Up next is Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio. Pete's Ponderings is a selection of Pete's candid commentary on everyday issues for Kiwis, taken from his show, Afternoons. Listen to the live broadcast of Peter Williams' afternoon show at 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Another report from the International Panel on Climate Change came out yesterday. And, of course, it was the cue for the alarmists to once again, as we say in cricket, go off the long run. You know, you would think by now that we'd be over this stuff, that the alarmist rhetoric and predictions have not come true in the last 30 years, and that while the climate is changing, yes, it's happening gradually, and we as a human race are making the necessary arrangements to ensure that we adjust the way that humanity always has adjusted. One thing to note, as the great and the good trotted out the usual catastrophic lines, like the UN Secretary General talking about how humanity is on thin ice and the ice is melting, and Greenpeace here says all we know and love is at risk, yada, yada, yada. We've heard it all before, haven't we? But here's a question. Was China mentioned by anyone yesterday? The country that emits almost a third of the world's man-made greenhouse gases is just never, ever criticised by anyone on this issue. Are they untouchable? If the international community is not putting the pressure on China to stop burning coal, how can those singing the alarm song really be taken seriously? Another political poll, another fall for the National Party yesterday. It's looking to be harder and harder for them to get up and win this year, or rather form a government after this year's election, unless there's a serious momentum change for them. It's all one way at the moment between Labor and National, and it's going Labor's way. And while a National ACT bloc was ahead of Labor Greens in that poll that came out yesterday, it was the first poll in ages where the two parties of the right did not combine to get at least 50%. So if we want to change at this year's election, and I'll admit I do, I want to change because I just don't trust Labor not to reinstate the policies they've put on the so-called bonfire. If we want to change this year, there's got to be some spark from the National Party. And I look at the personnel there and I just don't see it igniting. Will the party really risk rolling Christopher Luxon as the leader? If it's going to happen, it'll have to be soon, like in the next 6 weeks before the end of April. But instead of a new leader, how about some policies just to distinguish them from Labor? What will they do about education and the terrible drop in achievement standards? How will they get hospitals better staffed? How will they get more people working when just so many, it seems, want to hang around on the dole? If National can answer a few of those questions the right way with some bold and innovative policies, we might just see the polling numbers going in the opposite direction. Coming up, some comments on the new All Blacks coach, although we won't start work for a few months yet. How come so many public service managers have been appointed or put in place compared to frontline workers? And we have some thoughts also on the new police minister. That's to come on RCR.
You're listening to Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, we have a new All Black coach in place for next year already. I must admit it's kind of weird, isn't it? The All Blacks haven't even been selected this year, yet we're already looking ahead to next year. Now, Scott Robertson has had major success at every level of rugby he's coached so far, so he's likely to succeed at this level too. But I hope that between now and the end of October, when the Rugby World Cup is over, there will be little talk about Scott Robertson and the All Blacks. Let him concentrate on the Crusaders. Let the current coach, Ian Foster, do his best and not be distracted with the All Blacks this year. May they win the Rugby World Cup in France so that Foster, who will be newly unemployed come the 29th of October, he'll be able to name his own price with any club anywhere in the world. Scott Robertson will be different, we know that, and that's not a bad thing. But I just want him to get a team that will win games. It bothers me that a column yesterday is already talking about him being the man to attract teenage boys, you know, the TikTok generation, back to rugby. They've all gone off to basketball, you see. Well, not all of them, but a good many of them have. Gee, maybe that will be a byproduct. I don't know. I don't care if Robertson doesn't breakdance anymore. The only thing that will matter when he's in charge will be the results, just like with any other coach in any other sport. But let's put the subject of Scott Robertson and the All Blacks to bed for now. Just remember, he isn't in the job until November. Now, if you think the government bureaucracy is getting out of hand, here's some bizarre figures that the Taxpayers Union put out yesterday. Since 2017, the number of managers in the public sector has increased by 43.4%. But the number of frontline workers like teachers, nurses, doctors, and police has increased by just 24.6%. In other words, the number of managers increased at almost twice the rate of those doing the frontline work. In the past year alone, the number of managers increased by 7%. The number of frontline workers fell by 3.5%. As the man from the Taxpayers Union says, if the number of managers are increasing at twice the rate of the frontline workers, it begs the question, just exactly who are they managing? Fair question. You will be aware by now that we have a new Minister of Police, Jenny Anderson, but is it going to signal a change of direction for the police, a change of policy, to make them tougher on crime and on criminals? Now, I know it's lower level offending and, yes, a bit of grandstanding on the part of Leo Malloy in Auckland, because Leo Malloy, let's face it, is a grandstander. But he has CCTV footage of some guys damaging an awning at his bar. It's going to cost, he says, $50,000 to fix. So the cops come to the scene of the crime. They find the culprits, they speak to them, and essentially don't do anything. Later on, they say they will facilitate reparations between the offenders and the owner of the bar, to which I would say, yeah, right. Now, Leo Malloy quite rightly calls the police weak. He actually compared their weakness to a bodily fluid. We can understand what he was saying. We all get what he's saying. But why weren't those guys apprehended? Don't we need to send a message that willful damage to others' property in this country just will not be tolerated? Across the country, crime is increasing. In 2015, there were about 10,000 serious assaults in this country. Last year, there were over 23,000. The total of all violent offences increased from 50,000 cases in 2018 to over 70,000 last year. Yet the number of people in court and the number of people in prison is decreasing. That doesn't add up. The numbers suggest a government soft on crime is not reducing crime. So the message for the Minister of Police is the safety risks for the rest of us have surely increased, and we don't like that.
You're listening to Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Now, I was up early this morning and having a listen around to a few radio stations. I have to say, not much caught my attention, but one thing did. An advertisement authorised and paid for by the Victorian state government recruiting early childhood teachers. Isn't that extraordinary? Only a week or so after our teachers, including the kindergarten and early childhood sector teachers, go on strike for better pay and conditions, here is a blatant grab for workers by an Australian state government. Now, I don't know if salaries there are better in that job, but if other teachers and nurses' pay in Australia is anything to go by, it stands to reason, I guess, that the kinder teachers, as they're called in Australia, will be paid better too. So will New Zealand lose many early childhood teachers to Melbourne? Probably not a lot, but I get the feeling that advertisement might just be the tip of the iceberg. There is a worldwide shortage of workers. Australia pays better in many jobs, in fact, in most jobs. So expect the long arm of Aussie recruiters to be more and more visible on this side of the Tasman in the months to come. And what can I say? What I can say is that I'm not a great fan of this country's leadership. In fact, this government has had an impact on my life and on my way of life that I didn't think a New Zealand government ever would or could, and I will never forgive them for that. I know that I'm far from alone in those feelings. I just want to share with you a part of an article from the former Labour government cabinet minister, Michael Bassett. He was a cabinet minister back in the 1980s, an historian by training. And he writes this on his blog, BassettBrashAndHyde.com. The media became very excited when the new Prime Minister Chris Hipkins announced some policy changes a few weeks back. Even lesser lights in the media talked of bonfires of unpopular policies and hailed the emergence of a new ministry. In truth, all that can be said is that they were rushing to boost Chris Hipkins. But the reality is that all of the old policies are still around and they'll be dragged out of the cupboard again if this Labour government is re-elected in October. We need to consider Chris Hipkins' role in the mess that has piled up over the last 6 years. As one of the most senior ministers since 2017, he was directly responsible for education, where standards have been in free fall since he came into office. Exam expectations for NCEA have been reduced twice. A bogus New Zealand history syllabus was signed off, and all school children are led to believe that Maori have always been treated as second-class citizens. It was under Hipkins that truancy from school grew into an epidemic. As Minister of Police, he then presided over a scene where retail crime mushroomed and there were growing numbers of firearms offences, plus ram raids. As the Minister of State Services, Hipkins was responsible for the confused Public Service Act that was passed under urgency before the 2020 election. Poorly drafted, that act put an unelected official, now called the Public Services Commissioner, in charge of state services, ending the previous world where democratically elected ministers are in charge of the bureaucracy in their departments. As Roger Partridge of the New Zealand Initiative has pointed out, there isn't even a clause in the new Act making it clear that the Public Services Commissioner's principal function is to assist the government to implement its policy agenda. So the new reality is that state services are no longer directly accountable to any government. Therefore, can we be surprised that the number of state servants has ballooned under this regime, costing taxpayers hundreds of millions more for services that are worse? So, while some of the more unpopular policies of Jacinda's time might have been stowed in a cupboard for now, the disastrous measures presided over by Chris Hipkins survive, and the political debris in the cupboard could triumphantly emerge after October. So that was Michael Bassett. Hard to disagree, really, isn't it? Surely it's time, though, for parties of the right, in particular the National Party, to start becoming far more assertive in their policy direction. Otherwise, they're destined for at least another 3 years on the opposition benches. This is Reality Check Radio.
You've been listening to Pete's Ponderings on RCR, Reality Check Radio. Remember, you can catch Pete's full show combining smooth sounds and candid commentary on everyday issues for Kiwis and the Peter Williams Afternoon Show on our live broadcasts, 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.